just going to hand it over to you, Makobe. Love you, buddy.
Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. I feel truly loved by you guys, and I consider this church my family church. So thank you guys. Pastor Temple, Pastor Jeff, thank you for allowing me to preach this morning. Thank you guys for coming. You knew I'd be here, and you showed up anyway. Very brave of you. Thank you so much. I want to tell you a couple stories. I know that Pastor Jeff is has been talking about outreach and evangelism, and is going to continue to talk about outreach and evangelism. And so I want to tell you guys a couple stories from some of my journeys that hopefully will inspire you a little bit, hopefully will kind of get you hungry for a little bit more, and we can see more together. So I want to tell you this one story. I was in Chaz, which was the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. Anybody doesn't know what that is? So it was that place in Seattle. It was six blocks in Seattle that protesters like Antifa and Black Lives Matter, they took and they called it their own little city, Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. And after that, it became CHOP, the Capitol Hill Organized Protest, because they didn't want to deal with all the legalities of the Autonomous Zone. So I went there for a week, and we saw God do amazing things. And if you've ever heard that term, the light shines brightest in the darkness, it really is true, and we definitely saw that in Chaz. God really just showed up in a way that we could have hardly even guessed, because it was so dark, there was so much demonic activity, probably every other person was completely out of their mind on drugs. There was a lot of gun violence while we were there. I think six people died while we were there. But God showed up in a really amazing way. And so one of those stories that I want to share with you from CHOP or Chaz was a man who had a seizure the morning we got there. He had a seizure, or maybe it was the second day we got there. He had a seizure that morning, and he fell really hard because he was shaking on the ground, convulsing. You guys know what a seizure is. And he had to go to the hospital in an ambulance because not only he had a seizure and his back was like fidgeting and doing all that crazy stuff, but also he fell on a curb, and so his back was really messed up because he fell on a curb because he's walking down the street. And so this man shows up to our little tent that we have in the park in CHOP, and he can barely move. Actually, we saw him laying on the ground for about 45 minutes before he came over to our tent, and he was just standing still. And whenever he came over, he was walking really stiff, you know, like with the stiff legs and for him. And God completely healed his back and his mind. Amen? And that's not even the most amazing part. So God healed him, and he said, wow, that's amazing. I can't. And he was doing things that he couldn't do before. And he even, and this guy is not a Christian. He doesn't have any reason to lie to us. And so God heals him after we pray for him. His back is totally healed. He doesn't have any more pain in his back, no more stiffness, no more anything. And I ask him, I said, do you know Jesus? And he says, no. And we have a conversation about that. I try to lead him to the Lord. And he, at the end of the day, says, I'm not ready right now to give my life to Jesus. And so I say, okay, man, bless you. You know, God loves you. Jesus loves you. I bless you. And so he left. And I was thinking, we did a pretty good job of somebody in the future probably is going to talk to him, and he's going to be like, yeah, I think that's a good idea. So I was thinking we did done something well. But he comes back 2 or 3 hours later, and he was in tears, and his back was still healed. And he said, I thought whenever I said no to Jesus that my healing would leave. I thought my back would start hurting again. But I guess God, I don't remember his exact words. I wish I had this conversation recorded. He said something like this. I guess God is so good that he would heal me even if I don't accept him. And so at that moment, he gave his life to Jesus. After 3 hours of being healed, even though he said no to Jesus the first time, he came back, he gave his life to Jesus. He got baptized in water, and he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen? See, Romans 2, chapter 4 says, the kindness of God is meant to lead us to repentance. Isn't that amazing that we get to put the kindness of God on display, and people will repent, and we don't have to shout at them and tell them to repent. Isn't that amazing how that works? One more story I want to tell you. You guys all right? Is this okay? How does my purple suit look? Just be honest. All right. Any thumbs down? Okay, perfect. Okay. This next gentleman was a Satanist. He had a pentagram on his neck. He was a full-blown Satanist, a spiritualist. And he was also bisexual. So he's very confused. He was actually one of the security members for Antifa. So he had guns and everything, and he was this guy tattooed up. He's kind of a scary-looking guy, so to speak. And we were there for 4 days, four full days, and we talked to him every single day. And he didn't really seem like he was getting anywhere. Like, we didn't really get anywhere with him. But we were just kind to him. We loved on him. We showed him the goodness of God. We prayed for him a couple times, I think. And by the last day, this Satanist, who was bisexual and very confused, very worldly, extremely non-Christian, non-conservative especially, he ends up ripping off his pentagram, renouncing Satan for everything he's worth, giving his life to Jesus, gets baptized in the Holy Spirit, baptized in water, and he leads other people to Jesus. Can you believe that? A Satanist is leading people to Jesus because we get to show people how kind God is, how good he is. Isn't that amazing? I'm just trying to whet your guys' appetite and get you hungry. Is it working? One more I want to share with you, one more story. I was at Walmart the other day with a buddy of mine, and there was a woman there who worked at Walmart, the Walmart in Yukon, and right off the highway. It's Mustang. Anyway, this woman named Sarah works at Walmart, and I've actually went and seen her since. But she had bleeding ulcers in her stomach, which, if you don't know what that is, it's like it's constant pain. You constantly feel nauseous. You feel nausea all the time. It hurts. It's just a really uncomfortable feeling. Anybody have experience with bleeding ulcers? Not good, right? So this woman has constant pain. For the last 2 years, she hasn't felt normal. She hasn't felt normal in her stomach for the past 2 years. So this woman is miserable. She even said this. It was almost like the story with the issue of blood, because she even told me, like, that she'd spent a lot of money on doctors and they can't really do anything about it. That she's on medicine. She's on pain medication every day to try to manage the pain, but she always feels nauseous. She's in constant pain in her stomach. She's on a bunch of medications. And so I pray for her first time, second time, third time, and nothing happens. And so I'm just encouraging her, and I hear her say, you know, it's okay. People are really kind. Sometimes they'll give me a way out, you know, so I want to keep praying, but they'll give me a way out. So I was praying, and she said, it's okay. It's been like this for 2 years. I'm used to it. I can handle it. It's okay. But whenever I hear that hopelessness, I know that is the enemy trying to, like, hold on to what he has gained, right? And so I prayed one more time, and we rebuked the enemy, and all of her pain left. And she was literally telling other Walmart people about how, and they know her, that she had thrown up several times that day. They have to cover her shift so she can go to the bathroom to throw up. This is Sarah from Mustang. You can go talk to her. They have to cover her shift because she goes to the bathroom to throw up. And everybody knows it. Everybody in her department knows it. She works in the sporting good department. And literally, she said, I don't feel any pain in my stomach whatsoever. After you prayed that last time, it went from 100% to 0%. No more pain in my stomach. And she got completely healed. Isn't that amazing? And she was telling her other Walmart employees that were atheists about what Jesus just did for her. Isn't that amazing? Can you guys give glory to God? He's amazing. Can we just have some fun this morning? I can pretend to be all serious, but it doesn't last very long. I'd rather just be real with you. Is that all right? Pastor Jeff, is that all right? All right. What's he going to do, ground me? I'm a grown man, okay. Just kidding. Okay, I want to ask you guys a couple questions, okay? Because sometimes this is how I do it in the street. And now this is all for all of our benefits, right? I'm not just doing this to be up here and have a show. I really want to, it's for training, it's for building of your faith and that kind of thing too. Is there somebody here that has pain in the middle of their back, on the up, like the upper part of their middle back? Does that make sense to anybody? Just be real bold. Okay, we got one over here, two, three, okay, a couple. So what we're going to do, if you guys are comfortable with it, is we're going to pray for you right now, and we're going to see if God totally heals you. Is that okay? Is this all right? All right, so if you have that pain in your back, will you just stand up for me, please? Or if you're working the camera, you can stay seated if you need to. I won't run around too far, so you don't have to catch me. Okay, and if you are next to these people, will you just put your hand on their shoulder or on their back if they're comfortable with it? And if you don't want people touching you, you can kindly say, hey, no thank you, it's okay. And we're gonna pray a really simple prayer. We're gonna pray like how Jesus prayed, okay? So you guys ready? Just repeat after me, okay? Pain, say it with authority. Pain, I command you to leave. In Jesus' name, every bit of pain, go. Right now. Okay, now if you guys would, just test out your back. Test it out. Do something you couldn't do or do something that would hurt a little bit and just let me know how it's feeling. If it feels better, wave your hands at me. If it feels the same, keep your hands down. Well, how's it feel? All the way better? Better this morning, okay. Awesome, praise God. No pain in your back though. Amen. How about over here? Better? How much better? 80%? That's not bad. We'll pray again. Ma'am on the camera, how are you feeling? 100%, 80%, 50? 50? 50, okay. Over here? Shout out a percentage to me. Yeah. 50? Great, ma'am. Almost 99%. Okay, amen. Praise God. How about right here? How we feel? About 50%. Okay, so if you got totally healed, we're going to give glory to God afterwards, but we'll just sit down for now. And if you are not yet completely healed, I want you to stand up, stand back up, and we're going to pray again. Okay? One time Jesus prayed for a blind man, and when he took his hands off, the guy said, I can see men walking like trees. And Jesus prayed again, and then he got healed. Something happened. There's a mix-up. So we're going to pray again, okay? Now, you guys can do a study on healing in the Bible on your own. I really encourage it. Jesus was a prolific healer of the body. And I think if you study his life, then you are doing a study on the ministry of healing because he had quite an exquisite ministry of healing. But the word says in Isaiah 53:5, by his stripes we were healed. Amen? I could preach off that, but I won't. All right. So, pain, I command you to leave in the authority and influence of Jesus Christ. All pain, go. Right now. All right, now test it out again. Do a little test and be honest about how you feel. Don't lie. And if you're feeling 80% or more, just wave your hands at me. Amen, 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 amen. Honestly, amen, praise God. How do we feel over here? You're feeling the presence of the Lord? Okay, amen, God bless you. Awesome, you guys see how easy that was? Is it a small deal to you that your back is now healed? It's awesome. It changes your life a little bit, doesn't it? Amen? Awesome. So I just want to show you guys this, and I know you guys have seen this, and I know you know this, but I just want to reinforce this in your mind, that it's so easy. And this morning, whenever I was preparing, I was praying. I was already prepared, but I was praying, and I felt that pain in my back, and I wrote it down on my notes because I just thought that, hey, we'll see some people get healed. How much better do you feel, sir? 100% better. No more pain in your back. Come on. Will you guys give God a clap offering? That's amazing. Does anybody here suffer from a carpal tunnel? You have carpal tunnel syndrome? Okay. You're probably like, I don't want to do this. That's all right. Can I pray for you? Can we pray for you? Who is this to your left, to your right? Okay. Daughter, do you want to pray for your dad? Awesome. We're going to see some amazing. So, do you have pain in your wrist right now? Not too bad, but a little bit. So, when you start writing and typing, it flares up? Okay. So, daughter, you're going to put your hand. Actually, can you guys come up here? Just be our little show and tell. This all right? All right. So, you're going to put your hand on his wrist? Either one. And you say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you that you died on the cross.
Thank you that you died on the cross.
Not only to save us.
Not only to save us.
But to heal us.
But to heal us.
I command this wrist to be healed in Jesus' name.
I command this wrist to be healed in Jesus' name.
All carpal tunnel syndrome, I command you to leave.
Repeat that.
Carpal tunnel.
Carpal tunnel.
Leave.
Leave.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
All right. Now test it out a little bit. See if there's any pain right now. No pain at all, honestly. The numbness isn't there. Everything feels good. Amen. Thank you, guys. Give God a clap, eh? That's amazing. Dear daughter, how many times have you prayed for somebody to be healed? Not very many. Was it hard? No. But God just moved through you. Isn't that amazing? Does that encourage you? Awesome. She's like embarrassed, and I'll stop picking on her. Okay. I do have something I want to share, but sometimes if we can show it, it's better than if we just talk to you for 30 minutes. You know what I mean? Does anybody in here have permanent nerve damage? Or you were told by the doctor you have permanent nerve damage? Oh, Keith, okay. Awesome. Anybody else? Permanent nerve damage? Jaron? Okay. Will you guys come up here for a second? If you have permanent nerve damage, if you were told by the doctor you have permanent nerve damage, I just want you to come up here. I think the Lord wants to heal you. I read his word. I know he does. All right. You guys understanding this? Pretty simple. It'll make more sense after I share a little bit of why we're doing this, but I just want you to kind of get a taste of it. So you guys stand facing the audience, if you would. And what is it, Jaron, that is the nerve damage?
In my elbow.
Your elbow? Yep. What happened?
I was in a sling too long, and it pinched nerves and loose feeling.
Does it hurt?
Yeah.
It does hurt? Right now?
A little bit.
Okay. Like scale 1 to 10?
Probably about 5.
5? Scale of 1 to 10 hurts like about a 5. Keith?
Hey.
If you don't mind sharing, 8?
No, no. I said hey.
Oh, hey. 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 It's good to see you. What nerve damage do you have?
Right foot.
Right foot? Okay. Does it hurt? Does it bother you normally?
It doesn't hurt. It's a drop foot. It's like a disability. I can't raise my toes.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. We're going to pray. So if you guys would just extend your hands toward these guys. Can I get somebody to pray for Keith? I'm going to pray for Jaron. Whoever, both, yeah. And we're just going to pray. You know, whenever Jesus died on the cross, it says that he took his stripes so that we could be healed, and he died on the cross. Our salvation cost him his life, amen? But our healing cost him his back. Does that make sense? He didn't actually have to die for us to be healed. He had to die so we could be saved, so our sin could be wiped away, right? But he took the stripes on his back so we could be healed. That's what Isaiah says. So, Father, we just thank you for these two mighty men of God. We bind their body to the word of God that says that by your stripes we were healed. I command this permanent nerve damage to leave right now in Jesus' name. I speak life to the nerves, to the nervous system. I command every ending to operate exactly how you were created to operate in Jesus' name. Every bit of pain and discomfort, every bit of numbness, go right now in Jesus' name. And we just release the fire of the Holy Spirit to burn anything that is wrong and make it right, according to the word of God in Isaiah 53:5 and the blood of Jesus. All right, will you guys test it out a little bit for me now? See if there's any difference at all. A little bit. So is the pain, so is that a 5, right? What's it at now?
It's not there anymore.
No pain anymore? Seriously? No more pain. All right, what about the, is it, what, does it get sleepy?
These fingers go where they don't grab anymore and drop stuff.
Okay, how's it feel now?
That's only when I use it.
Okay, only when you use it. Well, no more pain. Seriously.
Praise God.
Amen. Isn't that amazing? Permanent nerve damage, and now he has no more pain. Can we pray one more time, Keith? I won't keep you for too long because I gotta preach. But Father, we just thank you for our brother, Keith. Thank you for everything he does for this house and the amazing man of God that he is. And I just rebuke this permanent nerve damage, and I just speak that that was not the truth according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We just plead the blood of Jesus on his foot. I command every nerve ending to be healed in Jesus' name. I command the foot and the nervous system and the muscles to operate exactly how you were created to operate in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Will you test it out for me just one more time and see? About the same? Okay, awesome. We'll keep praying. That's all right. Sometimes it doesn't happen right off the bat. Amen. You guys clap for these guys. Clap for the Lord. Isn't that amazing? We had a bunch of people whose backs got healed. We had someone with permanent nerve damage get healed. Keith, do you feel like the Lord doesn't love you? Do you feel unloved by me? So you don't feel bitter or angry? No. Some people are so scared. What if I pray and they don't get healed immediately? Well, most people are so blessed that you would even take your time to pray that they're not even thinking about being mad at God because he didn't heal them. Does that make sense? So don't be afraid of that. I'm actually kind of glad that happened. Not for you, but for the sermon's sake. So we guys turn to Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to read verse 1 through 6. When Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and preach in the cities. Now when John, while imprisoned, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you hear and what you see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." I really feel the Lord highlighted this verse to me in regards to evangelism. You know, people are asking, are Christians right? Is Jesus the real deal? Is he the one? Is Jesus really a Messiah? Is he what the Bible says he is, or is he just a good man? Is he just a prophet? And how do we answer them when people ask? You know, if a Muslim came up to one of you guys and said, "Is Jesus the Son of God, or is he just a messenger?" You know, how would you answer? He's the Son of God, of course. But what Jesus said, and I think he's got a little bit stronger of an argument than we do, he said, "Go and tell John this, the blind receive their sight and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them." What if we had an answer like that? What if when Choctaw came to you guys and Choctaw was asking you, "Are you guys like just kooks in there at church every Sunday morning, or is this Jesus thing real?" What if you said, "Look what happens on Sunday morning. People with back pain get healed. People with permanent nerve damage get healed in Jesus' name." And, you know, we don't have to have the whole rap sheet. But what I'm saying is, whenever the world is asking us, they're looking to us, and they're asking us. And even if they're not verbally asking, they're wondering in their minds, is Jesus real? Is the whole church thing legitimate? But our answer can't be a 32-page expository on theory and theology about anti-Semitism. I don't even know what that means, so sorry if that means something bad. You understand what I'm saying? They're not asking about our theology and our theory. They're asking, is Jesus Christ the real deal? Is he who he says he is? Amen? And how do we answer them? And I think that there is a really big harvest coming, and I don't want to sound charismatic or in a bad way or anything like that, but I really believe the Lord wants to save a lot of people. I think we can all agree on that. No matter what your beliefs are, the Lord wants to save a lot of people. Amen? And when Jesus was on this earth, well, let's take the first sermon preached, Peter. Do you guys know that sermon that Peter preached in Solomon's portico, right? I believe it was. I could be wrong about that. Do you know how that sermon came about when 3,000 people got saved? Is a healing. A lame man got healed in Solomon's portico. A lame man got healed. And then a huge crowd gathered around. And he preached the gospel with the power on display. And many, many came to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Wouldn't it be amazing if instead of people always saying, "Repent, or you're going to go to hell. Repent, or you're going to go to hell." if we had people on the streets that were seeing the blind see and the deaf hear and the lame walk, and then people said, this is by the blood of Jesus Christ and nothing else, and then many, many came unto salvation. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that sound kind of like what happened in the Bible? Wouldn't that kind of be like a Bible theme if people got healed and miraculously saved and delivered all at the same time? John 6:35, you don't have to turn there, but it says, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me shall not go hungry, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Amen? Let me tell you a story, a really funny story, okay? So there's this pet store owner. You guys know what a pet store is? Somebody over here bark like a dog. Okay, thank you. Somebody over here squawk like a bird. A little bit louder, I can't hear you. It's all right, you guys don't want to play. Somebody over here meow like a cat. Excellent, perfect. Now do it all at the same time. All right, that's a pet store. That's what a pet store sounds like, okay? Bunch of animals all over the place. That didn't have any purpose. I just wanted to see you guys do it. A little bit of egg on your face. Okay, so there's a pet store owner. And this woman walks in one day and she says, sir, I need a pet so bad. My children went off to college. My house used to be filled with life and smells and all kinds of sounds, but now it's so lonely. And I really want something that's going to keep me company and help me not feel so lonely. So the man says, stop right there. I know exactly what you need. And he brings out this beautiful parrot. And this parrot, he said, it speaks 250 words. It speaks in 3 different languages. And she said, all right, I'll take the bird. He said, I guarantee if you take this home, you won't feel lonely at your house. So she said, okay, I'll take the bird. So she took the bird home. She comes back the next day to the pet store. She says, my bird hasn't said a word to me. Is that weird? Does he hate me? What's the deal? The man said, okay, let's try this. Sometimes they're a little shy on the first night. Let's put a mirror in the bird's cage, and it will see his own beauty, and then I'm sure he will speak to you. So she bought the mirror, and she left, and she went home and put the mirror in the cage. But the next day, the pet store owner saw her walk back into the store. She said, the bird still hasn't said a word to me. What's wrong? What do I do? Man says, that's so strange. I don't understand, but I know we can try. Put a ladder in the bird's cage, and he will walk up and down the ladder, and he will feel smart and sophisticated, and then I'm sure he will speak to you. So they bought the ladder, and they left, put it in the cage. And the next day, she was back again, but this time she was frustrated. She came in from the sidewalk, busted through the doors. She looked him in the eye. She said, you, sir, are a liar. You said this bird knew 250 words in 3 different languages, but he hasn't used one of them on me. And if I wanted something that was just going to stink up my house, I would have just invited my son back home from college. The man said, okay, have mercy. Let's try one more thing. Put a swing in the bird's cage. And the bird will feel relaxed and comfortable. It'll be easy. And then I guarantee you the bird will speak to you after that. So she took the swing, paid for it, and left. And that night the man got on his knees and he prayed, God, please make this bird speak. I don't want to see this woman at my pet store again. So the next day she comes back. But this time her countenance had fallen and she was sad. And she came slowly into the store, and she looked up at the pet store owner. She said, my parrot died last night. But he did say one sentence before he died. You guys want to know what the parrot said? Who wants to know? The parrot's very last sentence before he died was this. Don't they sell any food at that pet store? And is this not what we do to the world when we tell them how beautiful they are? We make our churches so beautiful and we try to lure them in by our beauty. Or maybe our sophistication, our education, our intelligence, we tell them how smart they are. We tell them, look how smart we are. We climb up and down a ladder, think we're so smart. Look how amazing Jesus is because how smart I am. Or maybe we make it really comfortable for them. It's like a swing. It's easy. Come into our church. It's okay. It's going to be so easy. You don't have to change your life whatsoever, right? You're amazing just the way you are. Now, part of that is true. But Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not go hungry, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. And if we're not carrying the bread of life, then we don't have anything to offer a dying world that's hungry for Jesus. Our beauty, our intelligence, our comfortability means nothing to them, truly. An encounter, a powerful, loving encounter with the bread of life himself, that is what changes the hearts of lost souls. Amen? That is what will change the world. That is what will change Choctaw, Oklahoma. It's not how, now I'm not blaming you guys for these things. It's just a story. It's a, you know, you get it? I'm not saying you guys do all these things, but I'm saying the church in America at large, can't you see this, how we do this? We make the church so beautiful. We try to invite people in. Is a beautiful church worth your life? It's not worth mine. Easy church? A comfortable gospel? You know what's amazing about the younger generation is they actually don't want anything that's comfortable. They actually want to die for something. And so if you give them this comfortable, easy thing, they're probably not going to want it. Can anybody attest to that? I want something that I can give my life for and I can die for that is worth my life. And the only thing is Jesus, the bread of life. And so when we go out and we do outreach, and Pastor Jeff is going to lead some of these, and I would love to help with some of these because I believe that there are people in Choctaw that need an encounter with the bread of life. I believe there are people in your neighborhood, in your work, in your school, that need an encounter with the bread of life. And we can carry all these other things, but at the end of the day, what will change a heart is a powerful and loving encounter with the bread of life. Amen? John 6:35 says, those who come to me will not go hungry, and those who believe in me will not go thirsty. So the two action words there are come and believe, right? Referring to Jesus as the bread of life. Come to me and believe in me, right? And we ask people whenever we get, you know, and I'm not saying you guys do this. I know you don't. But there are people that have signs out there that say, repent or you're going to hell. And they try to get people to come and believe. But that's not actually how Jesus did it. He said, first, taste and see. In John chapter 6, he just fed over 5,000 people with bread, and he'd healed many of them. There was an encounter aspect. There was a passionate and loving, life-changing encounter. And we want people to change their life and become Christians and go to our church or whatever, but we have to give them something that's life-changing in the bread of life, amen? So before they can come and see, and some people will come and see, and that works sometimes, but Jesus' model of evangelism and outreach was actually taste and see, and then come and believe. Amen? So when we think about this, I know, like I said, Pastor Jeff is going to be pressing on this, I think, for a while. Right, Pastor Jeff? Hopefully I'm not saying that and you're not. Taste and see. You know, like that man that got healed in his back that had a seizure. He tasted and he saw that God was so good. And then he came and believed. But it wasn't the other way around. And we don't need people to require it to be the other way around. Amen? So, when Choctaw asks, is Jesus the real deal? Are these church people legitimate? We're going to say, come see what happens on Sunday morning. People get healed. People get up out of their wheelchairs. People's permanent nerve damage goes away. People get encouraged. People get loved on. People get the gospel preached to them. Amen? And just in case you've never heard this before, I want to share some scriptures with you that Jesus said, referring to some of these things I'm talking about, like gifts of healing and words of knowledge and that kind of thing. Who thinks that you get words of knowledge? Does anybody like would say, like, yeah, I think I get that. I hear the Lord speak to me sometimes. Anybody? Okay, a few, awesome. So in Luke chapter 9, verse 1, Jesus gave them, the 72, power and authority to cast over all demons and to cure all diseases. In Luke chapter 10, verse 9, he gave them authority to heal the sick. In Mark 16, 15 through 20, he said, proclaim the gospel. Those who believe will be saved, cast out demons, speak in new tongues. You can drink deadly poison, it won't affect you, and you can heal the sick. In Matthew 10, chapter 8, he said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. In John chapter 14, verse 12 through 14, he said, he who believes in me, these works I do, you will do, and even greater. And in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he said, and teach them to do everything I've commanded you to do. But what was it that Jesus had commanded them to do? To go and preach and heal the sick. So as disciples of Jesus, what does it look like to be a disciple of Jesus? I believe with all my heart it looks like going, preaching the gospel, healing the sick, among other things. But that's certainly an aspect to it. You guys believe that? Is there anybody in here that would say, I need this in my life. If I want to be a true disciple, I need this power in my life. I'm raising my hand, because I do. Anybody in here who can heal the sick on their own? Let me put it that way. Okay. I believe God wants to empower us this morning. You've seen it done. It's easy, right? The healing. How hard would it be to go to your coworker on Monday and say, hey, do you have any pain in your body? Just a weird question. Do you have any pain in your body? And they might say, no, I'm good. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Just ask him. And you can sound like a weirdo. That's fine. But maybe they say, yeah, my shoulder hurts. My back hurts. Yeah, does anybody have pain in their right shoulder right now, actually? That was the last word I got. I forgot to give it. Pain in their right shoulder. How easy would that be, though, to go to your coworker and say, hey, do you have any pain in your body? Can I pray for you? I just want you to know that Jesus loves you so much. And the Bible says he died on a cross so that you could be free from your sin. And he took stripes on his back so you could be healed. Isn't that amazing? Can we pray? Father, I commit all this pain to leave right now in Jesus' name. Anybody willing to do that on Monday morning? Pastor Jeff, look around. It's really so easy, guys. And it's the gospel. And I know that sometimes healing and the gifts of the Holy Spirit can seem like extra terrestrial things to a Christian life. But I really believe if you read through the gospels, that Jesus went everywhere and he healed all who were oppressed by the devil. And what Jesus did when he was walking throughout the earth is he went and he destroyed the works of the devil in every single city and every single town. If he saw someone that was depressed, he encouraged them. If he saw somebody that was blind, he healed them. And whenever we say we are disciples of Jesus, we have to have that same mentality. We go, and everywhere we go, at our work, at our school, at the stoplight, at the street corner, at wherever we are, we destroy what the enemy is trying to do. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus came that we might have life and life abundantly. Amen? Will you guys stand up for me, please? Sorry if I went a little long. I apologize. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We love you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would encourage and empower every single one of us to be a true disciple of Jesus. I pray that your love for the people on the streets, in our jobs, in our schools would overwhelm us and overtake us, God. I pray that any fear in our hearts would be dealt with in our quiet time with you. We love you, Jesus. We want to do what you did because you told us to. We want to be obedient sons and daughters. We want to love you well And we know that the harvest is what your eye is after. You know, the Bible says that Jesus, heaven actually celebrates when one sinner comes to repentance. What do you think makes Jesus happy? It's when we preach the gospel. It's when we demonstrate his love for the world. You know, when we get to the end of our life, we're all going to stand before the Lord. And we're going to give an account for what we did with our lives. And there will be people, and I pray that it's nobody in here, and I don't think it will be, but there will be people that were so afraid to do anything for the gospel for their whole life that they didn't really ever do anything for the gospel. And Jesus is going to say, what did you do with your life? What gifts do you have to bring me? What inheritance of mine did you gather for me while you were on earth? And you're going to say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I guess I was too scared to talk to anybody. But it's going to feel like a hazy dream, the fear you had when you're standing before the Son of God with eyes of fire. It's going to feel like a hazy dream, the fear that you had in your heart whenever you were about to go up and talk to somebody, the fear you felt and your heart started beating real fast and you got all nervous and you chickened out. And I've done that many, many times. But that fear is going to feel like a hazy dream that you can't even remember. You're standing before Jesus, and he says, what did you do with my gospel? And you're going to say, I didn't do anything, Jesus. I think I was afraid, but I can't remember what on earth was so scary. I can't remember what would have been worth leaving my whole life doing nothing with the gospel of Jesus and not saying yes to you, not being a disciple of Jesus. And you're not going to remember why you were afraid, because you're going to be standing in heaven before the King of Kings. And fear is going to be the last thing on your mind, except for fear of him. And so I want to encourage you guys to live every single day with that day in mind. One of my friends says all the time, he says, mind in the beginning, what matters in the end. And every single day, I think about this day that I'm going to stand before the Lord. And I'm not perfect, and surely I chicken out all the time. So it's not about me being great. But it's a good practice for us to get into. If we live our entire lives and we live in fear and we don't do anything, we don't do what we know the Lord has told us to do. And if you don't know what the Lord has told you to do, it's all through here. And I would hate for myself to get before Jesus Christ. And I'm looking at Jesus. And I had the opportunity to bring him lost souls. I had the opportunity to proclaim his gospel in the streets, in the nations, or wherever. And I was just, Jesus, I was too afraid. I'm sorry. I don't have anything to give you. I don't have a crown to throw at your feet, Jesus. I'm sorry. I was too afraid. And I pray that is none of us, okay? So, Father, we thank you, God. I pray that you would help us. Help us, Jesus, to live every day with that day in mind. Help us live every day with the true things that matter in mind. Now, you guys repeat this with me. Amen. Prayer's over. Repeat this with me. Will you guys lift your hands? Lift your hands up real high. And say this with gusto. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. And recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. All right, you guys are in now. Congratulations. You know what's amazing is that you don't have to be specially anointed to pray for the sick, heal the sick. You know, this daughter, she just healed her father's carpal tunnel by the power of God, but she laid her hands on him. I didn't pray. You guys are all anointed by God, set apart for service. You know, anointing isn't this big spiritual Benny Hinn kind of word, take off your jacket and sling it around. Anointed means set apart for service. You know, kings and priests and prophets were anointed in the Bible, and it just means they were set apart for service in God's kingdom. And every single one of you is set apart for service in God's kingdom. Amen? And because you are anointed, then the Spirit of God comes upon you. So guess what you have to do to earn it? Nothing. Jesus paid it all at the cross. And we are just enforcing his victory. And if we don't gather, his treasures that he gained at the cross, which is the souls, the healings. Everybody that's oppressed by the devil is up for grabs. If we don't gather, nobody else will. You know, there's not another body of Christ that's going to come up behind us and clean up after we didn't do anything, right? We gather the people. We give them into the hands of Jesus. We heal the sick. We destroy the works of the enemy. And at the end of our lives, we get to stand before him with a great reward because we are obedient sons and daughters. Amen?